Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Dan Wiederer, Bears reporter and senior writer for The Athletic.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Wiederer.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Wheezy!
We love talking to Dan Wiederer. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Dan, of course, part of The Athletic. He covers the Bears for The Athletic, and he is the co-host of the Take the North podcast. Alongside our very own Mark Rohde, he is at Dan Wiederer on X. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm still disoriented. That was something else yesterday afternoon. I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around every single thing that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's been the case for us too. What is your biggest takeaway, you think, if you have to write one headline, what is it?
Well, I'm going to waffle on you. I heard you choose two MVPs earlier, so I'm going to choose two headlines.
and we're
going to make it easy. But because here's where I was left as I was leaving the stadium last night, where you're sitting here and you're realizing that the Bears are one play away from one of the most devastating losses in franchise history, and a loss that at the very least would have taken a long time to get back up from if it didn't completely shatter their season. And then you sort of play it through with your mind and you're like, well, if the refs let the Tremaine Edmonds 96-yard pick six stand, then they're trying an extra point to go up 21 points with less than 3 minutes left. And perhaps we're sitting here on a Monday talking about a blowout win against a feeble opponent and feeling really good about it. And so I guess my headline is, football's crazy. We experienced every single layer of craziness in that game yesterday, and it shows you just how small that margin is between feeling the euphoria that the Bears felt and the devastation that was sitting right behind them the whole time while they were trying to get across that finish line.
Yeah, Dan, I think that's fair, and I think my takeaway was football is crazy, and sometimes you just got to survive. And when I say sometimes, I really mean every week, because any given Sunday. And so I think this idea that people, fans, they want these neatly gift-wrapped wins where everything is a, you know, three-touchdown blowout, that's just not the reality of what most Sundays are going to be. And it's a first-year head coach, a quarterback, and a bunch of rookies. I mean, we saw two rookies lead the way on offense. And to understand where we are, you just got to be grateful that they escaped a road game in Cincinnati with a dub, right?
Well, they escaped the road win, and they did it once again with their quarterback making plays down the stretch to lift them to that victory. This is now four times in their last six wins, going back to the finale of last year, where Caleb has had a lead, a drive to get him that win. And you guys remember how radioactive that learn to win conversation was during the Justin Fields era. This is what this is. Learning to win is having a quarterback who can rescue you at the end of a crazy day. And now we've seen Caleb stack these together now. All four of those wins where he's led the game-winning drives have come on the road. That's huge to have in your back pocket, because it is ultimately what lifts the okay teams and the good teams and the good teams and the great teams. And so that's the most optimistic, full-hearted way to look at yesterday's win, is to realize that that quarterback goes into those moments feeling both calm and confident. And it was really funny, because the locker room in Cincinnati, guys, is segmented into three spots. And in the middle yesterday, when it opened up, Kevin Byard drew a huge crowd, and I was going off toward the offensive side, and Caleb was sitting by himself. And I just kind of made eye contact with him and gave him a look like, how in the world did everything just happen in the last hour? And he just looked at me and smiled, and he was just like, you know. And it was just with this, like, I'll never forget just the the sheer calmness on his face and his very natural belief that he's built for those moments. You can't replace that. He's got a lot of flaws. He's got a lot of room for growth yet, but having that in your back pocket is such a huge thing.
Yeah. And that might have answered kind of where I was going next, and, you know, bringing up the fact that the fourth time in the last six games where he's led a fourth quarter comeback. And Marshall and I were kind of kicking it around earlier, whether or not this is a moment that you look at and say, yep, this is a big step forward. The 58-yard play to Colston let to win the game in the final 50 seconds. This is an actual step forward in development. Or is this just adding another great moment, another great play to his resume at this point?
Well, look, those things build belief. Right. And what we're seeing right now is a quarterback who in those moments now has the confidence of the guys around him that he's going to give them an opportunity to make those plays that win the game. I would caution everybody that on the three previous snaps, you didn't have a lot of confidence that the Bears were going to get it done because he was getting pressured. He was running around. He didn't look comfortable. And you're like, oh, God, like this game's going to end in horrific fashion here. And then he makes the one throw and Colston gets free and he goes down the middle of the hashes to the end zone. And you've got a whole different vibe in your building the entire week because you have a quarterback capable of making that play. It was not pretty yesterday offensively. I think, you know, you look at the passing offense in particular, and they were struggling to get things going down the field without having to resort to some of the gadgetry. And yet at the end of the day, you walk out of that building with 573 total yards and six touchdowns. And so you can't nitpick too much, can you?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Ben Johnson talks in about a little bit over an hour from right now to see what his honest assessment of the way Caleb Williams played.
Right. And look, like, again, there was a delay of game on third and goal from the one. Like, that's gross. And I'm sure that was one of those moments where, you know, Ben sort of alluded post game that he can be kind of unpleasant on that headset during periods of a stressful game like that. I'm sure that's probably one of those moments where he was venting a little bit. You know, there's a half dozen moments offensively that I'm sure he could stand up in front of the team and go, guys, this is not good enough. And we're going to have to get a lot better once we start playing better competition. But at the same time, you've got a head coach who, all the things that we were told about him as being a potential superstar, as a leader and an offensive overseer are playing out right in front of us right now.
Our segment with Dan Weiderer is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. What do you think about just the fact that the Bears were able to use the running game to the advantage of the Jets ran for 254 yards, so the Bears might as well try, even with running back one out with the injury in DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's trying to rain on the parade here, but the context in yesterday's game is that the Bengals defense is atrocious, and it's hard for me to remember watching a defense up close that's that bad and that vulnerable. And the Bears knew that they were going to be able to run the football. But one of the things I've loved about Ben from Jump Street is a lot of times these creative offensive minds like to, you know, get fixated on their creative offensive minds. Ben's first and foremost priority is to establish a running game that actually punishes opponents. And yesterday he saw a run defense that was very shaky, and he ran it down their throats all afternoon and took great pride in doing so and stayed committed to it. And they end up with the byproduct and the results that they had with DeAndre Swift on the shelf. And so that's not going away. That's a core part of Ben's offensive identity. And for them to have that type of success, even against a vulnerable opponent, it tells you a lot about how the head coach is going to build this offense.
This segment with Dan Weiderer, sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Dan joining us, of course, half of the Take the North podcast. We got the other half right here in studio on Raheem Harris and, of course, Mark Grody, the other half, as I mentioned. Dan, okay, Austin Booker, what are your thoughts on the impact that he had on this game, in which they needed way more people on defense that make some kind of impact on this game?
Well, I mean, we know the one play, right? Like, and that's a huge play at that moment in the game to get the strip sack to beat a very strong and established tackle in Orlando Brown, and to make that impact, and you get the 10-yard sack, the strip, the fumble. Dexter gets on it, and now all of a sudden you've got the chance to swing the game in your favor, because it was seesawing at that point, and you were trading leads and trading leads and trading leads, and now all of a sudden you give your offense the ball on a shorter field to go get the field goal that gives you some cushion. And so that's a big deal. We're going to wait on injury news on Dio Odengbo. Mm-hmm. We know that obviously Dom Robinson is on the shelf, Shamar Turner on IR. They need reinforcements to the defensive line. And so when you get a guy back and he's able to produce like that quickly, it's got to make you feel pretty good. And now you just got to continue to develop him and get him to grow into the player that you believe he can be.
Does this make it more likely at all that this time tomorrow we're hearing about a Bears trade of some kind? I mean, we're up against it and people are falling like flies on that defense.
I mean, I think it makes you look harder at options.
Okay.
But I do think at all times you have to balance the long view versus kind of the momentary instinct of trying to be spontaneous and say, we got to go for it now. I'm sure they'll work through those discussions today. I know that they've been shopping a little bit, but again, it's all about the cost and what you can do to help you now that doesn't mortgage your future in ways that you don't want it to. And so we'll just kind of see how it plays out. I'm always eager to get to the end of the trade deadline so that the speculation can come to a halt, and then you know what team you've got going forward into the stretch run.
I said on our pregame show yesterday here on The Score, Dan, that I really like to see DJ Moore have a big game, have a game of consequence, especially with being down Luther Burden in this game. And he did. He had the pass to Caleb Williams, the 17-yard, what turned out to be a touchdown at the end. Couple things. How big of a day was that for DJ Moore? I mean, this goes along with Ben Johnson, doesn't it? Just learning how to use the player. And then the challenge call by Zach Taylor to bring it full circle with John Fox once upon a time ago.
Yeah, well, we'll start with DJ. And I was on a very early flight this morning, so I got in the front door before the kids left for school. And the first thing my son said to me was, DJ Moore had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, and neither of those are his position. And then I was like, very good observation.
That's
here.
Well,
like,
said.
They're finding different ways to use him, and they got him unlocked in that regard. Also, I think had 72 receiving yards in the game, and you want to see these playmakers come to life. That's why you have so many of them, because they can have a day like they had yesterday, and DJ's a big part of that. The challenge, I mean, in real time, everybody in the press box is talking, like, is this going to be the reverse John Fox, because the ball crosses the plane of the goal line and you think you might be rolling the dice on getting a fumble and a touchback, and yet you give up 7 points by throwing that red challenge flag, and that had a sting. And I know there were a lot of things that stung Zach Taylor yesterday, and I'd imagine that's on his list of top 10 moments that really left him shattered. I think number one certainly would be two safeties unable to get a tight end on the ground.
Oh my God.
Last pass of the game, and it costs you dearly.
By the way, really quick, just for the sake of whiteboarding, and Dan, if you don't remember the exact circumstances, all good, because I didn't. What was the exact scenario in the John Fox game? Do you remember?
It was Benny Cunningham, and
yes,
he was doing a similar thing where he was kind of lunging for the pylon. Foxy thought he had gotten across the goal line. When they went back on replay review, they realized that the ball had come loose at like the half yard line and had fumbled out the side of the end zone. And so all of a sudden you went from trying to get your team a touchdown to, hey, I think it was against Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken, it's Packers ball at the 20 going the other way. And I think that you can still find the GIF on you know, social media of the stare Foxy gave when he got the news that they had changed that potential touchdown into a turnover.
Thou dost protest too much. Isn't that where we get that?
I think from yeah. Shakespeare, I think.
Is that
yes,
what it is, Shakespeare?
But it might have been the Bennett Cunningham challenge with John Fox.
Yes.
Don't protest too much. Yeah, I should have gotten that one right.
It's John Fox war. It's all a problem.
It's very good.
You know, Dan, the other thing, too, is we never got clarification as viewers of the broadcast about the field goal before the end of the half that wasn't. It looked like it might have been blocked, and you know, we're still trying to figure out what the official clarification was. What did you get anything in the locker room yesterday indicating what happened? Because the only thing I have that's concrete is ESPN's game log saying it was a blocked field goal.
It looked, I didn't realize that there was curiosity about that in real time. It certainly appeared like it was blocked. I'm pulling it up right now on the.
Yeah, by whom?
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah. We never got confirmation.
According to the NFL itself, NFL.com, it's Osai blocked it. And so that's
98 is, I'm looking here. They said Osai. It looks like.
98. Yeah,
that's what it says in the game book.
Montez?
In the actual game book.
Oh.
No, 98 for the Bengals, Grody. Oh, Montez Sweat wasn't blocking his own kickers.
Oh, yeah,
98 is Slayton. That's TJ Slayton
for
Jr.
For the clarification, yeah.
That's where it looks like it hits to me here, but I'll go back and give this a full Zapruder-Vilm investigation.
I mean, I don't know how much of a big deal it is, but I figured since while we're here in clarification land, we might as well get the one on that too.
Yeah, see, they never clarified it. This is just it.
Are y'all both going to be on with... the head coach today, Ben Johnson?
Absolutely. Yeah, 2:30. I think some players are speaking at 2:30, I want to say. And then,
okay, no, because I was asking that. Obviously, we can ask Ben Johnson. He'll have looked at the tapes.
Well, Dan's got usually a list of 30 questions.
That's true.
So
that's true.
What can you
Maybe
tell us
I'll get
about
in there and ask what happened on the block.
Yeah, what are your top 10 questions?
We got to pawn like three or four off on Fishbane and see if he can get there. I do want to know what his reaction is to the Tremaine pick six. And why, you know, again, that's a potentially season changing call. Right. And you make that decision in that moment, in that way, I can't imagine a head coach feels great about that. I do want to know a little bit more about the answers they unlocked with Caleb scrambling over the last couple of weeks, and they used that as a pretty good weapon yesterday. And then I did mention earlier the delay of game at the 1 yard line.
Ooh, that was rough.
I want to know what happened there, and I'm curious what Ben saw that probably kept him up last night, even with a riveting win.
And find out how much longer Mr. Gardner Johnson. I mean, I feel like Gardner Johnson kept everything cool. I mean, he did have a sack. CD, yeah, CD. Yes, that's right. CD.
You keep calling him CD, but isn't it CD? He said CD.
I think, like, the emphasis is on the first syllable.
Oh, not initialized the way I'm saying it.
Not CD Lamb. CD, like S-E-D.
I got you. You might be right. Yeah, you're right. Isn't that what it is, Dan? C-E-E-D-Y?
That's how I understand it, yes.
People love spelling on the radio. It's one of the great things. It just flows.
To help people
visualize, since we don't have like a little poster here, I can hold on.
I thought there was one tussle where, I want to say it was special teams related, where somebody had to get back.
Like 35 had to be held back?
I think not held back, but just like
something happened maybe?
Something may have been extended.
Oh, okay.
I got to go back and watch
No penalties
tape.
On him though? You had a sack on a third? I mean, I can't sit here and say that anybody played that well on the Bears defense, but he stood out a couple times anyway.
Well, how about this? Just as a capper to the defensive day yesterday, they had to defend a 52-yard Hail Mary to finish the game, which is the exact distance that they had to defend against the Commanders a year ago. And Dennis Allen sends six rushers instead of just three with T.J. Edwards standing in the middle of the field staring at nobody. And so look what happens. Joe Flacco's rushed into a throw. It doesn't come within 20 yards of the end zone, and Nashawn Wright picks it off, and it just felt like some symbolic punctuation on a win like that.
Did you see George?
Yesterday. Did
you see George?
Oh, yeah. George throwing fists around. He looked like Jordan after beating the Cavs. You know,
he did though. You're right.
I love it. I love the emotion.
I would love to hear what he's saying about that, because you know everybody's hitting him up at this point. He's just going to be George about it, and I can't really explain that in 2 minutes.
I'm just a fan happy my team won on Sunday.
I mean, what a day, though. I mean, honestly, like I wrote in my notebook in the third quarter with six asterisks around it, circus, and then it only got more to become more of a circus after that. I'll give you this. It was, for me, there were parallels to last year at Ford Field, and obviously the result is completely different than the Thanksgiving disaster of 2024. But the similarity was it just took me so long to comprehend what I had witnessed that, like, I couldn't go to sleep last night because my brain had been twisted in so many knots for 3.5 hours that you're just like, what exactly happened, and did I do a good enough job summarizing it all?
Well, that's why I said that today in transition, the rewatch is going to be the most important rewatch that we've had of the season, because you could actually watch it with a little bit of comfort and not missing stuff because you're so hung up on what just happened.
Yeah, it's nuts, and the disbelief of everything was felt by those players in the locker room. It was fun to listen to a lot of guys talk about some of the other crazy games that they had been in.
Good for
over
them.
Time. Olamide Zaccheaus was on the winning end of the Hail Mary last year with Washington, and he said that this tops that. So that gives you a little bit of context from him on what those emotions were like yesterday.
Amazing.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us. As always, we look forward to the Take the North podcast.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Enjoy the day.
That's Dan Wiederer, co-host with Mark Grody on the Take the North podcast, athletic writer covering the Bears as well, and you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. It's time for everybody who is frustrated by the defense because the Bears gave up 42 points. Next segment, we discuss it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Raheemi Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Flacco puts a nail under it, far side. Higgins, just crazy catch for the Cincinnati touchdown. T. Higgins with a showstopper. Second and goal. Flacco, end zone, touchdown. Yossi Vosh.
This is Raheemi Harrison Grody, 670 The Score. That was CBS Sports.
Improbable!
Man, listen.
Wait, I don't get it.
Yeah,
He mixed impossible and incredible.
Improbable!
Now that you say it. Improbable.
That was another thing. Did you guys think the crowd mix was really loud?
Yes, I agree with that. That statement, Layla.
I think you now. Are you saying that because you heard the Bears fans? Maybe
no. I'm saying weird? Like the level of the crowd.
Oh,
was
the actual volume,
the background noise compared to the foreground noise. Gotcha. The foreground noise.
Improbable.
I mean, it was probably that there, right? Loud in that moment. I give that. I think T. Higgins. By the way, those two catches.
Incredible. They were incredible.
They were incredible.
Incredible. Every time I hear it, I get closer to hearing it the way he said it. It's incredible. Huh?
Yeah, at first I was like, he's just saying incredible. What's the big deal?
And then incredible.
Now I feel bad.
But you didn't notice it. Nobody noticed it. Robbie's good young years noticed it. So there you go.
That's why we keep him around.
It's incredible. It's the incredibility of something like that happening.
There were a lot.
Incredible.
There were a lot of Bears fans but at the game.
Ingrabable.
Like, there were times where I couldn't tell who the home crowd was. And you're right about those T. Higgins catches.
Which one did you like better?
Which soul snatching catch was better? Because that's what I feel like happened.
Yeah,
it's the like, first one maybe for the touchdown.
We all prepared for the Jamar Chase excellence. Like, whoa, T. Higgins has something to say. The South had something to say. T. Higgins had something to say.
What do you know about the South?
I know about the South. That's something it. To say.
South, that's okay. I love that.
Yeah, I know you do.
The Source Awards, right?
Yes, yeah, Source Awards.
That's way back. That's a callback right there. Right? Mark Grody validating himself right now. I was not prepared for Mark Grody to be quoting Outkast ever.
This is the proudest you've ever been with me.
Yes,
Andre, 2000 or 3000? What is it? 4000? Andre.
See, and there
it
went.
Kidding.
And
I'm
there
just it kidding.
Went.
I'm kidding. I was playing dumb middle-aged white guy. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're not middle-aged. You're young.
But
T. Higgins, seriously, the fact that Jamar Chase was nowhere to be found like the early, but it didn't matter because T. Higgins was like, I got this. Don't worry. And it's the quality of play that made you remember, oh, yeah, it's a 1-2 punch, not just a one.
Yeah. And what's funny is I think we talked about that a lot. Even though Jamar Chase had been far and away the overwhelming dominant receiver yards-wise, catches-wise, touchdowns, that you knew T. Higgins was going to be able to produce. That's the whole point of having the combination that they have there in Cincinnati. And that's why I think it showed on the box score. Like I said, when you can say things like Jamar Chase had a quiet 111 receiving because T. had 121 yards and two touchdowns, and those two were pretty sick. Yeah, that's the case.
The crazy part is that if I said, hey, by the way, this game, Chase is going to have 14 targets to lead everybody, you'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right. I was like, no, Chase Brown.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I mean, Jamar Chase still got his at 6 for 111.
But that's the point. When you run a ton of plays, which both teams did,
mm-hmm.
when you're
running
almost 80 plays, if you're the Bears and what, 66 or 67 if you're the Bengals? Yeah, that's kind of the point in all of this. And unfortunately, both teams were able to run a ton of plays because nobody stopped them. Like, that is the hard part with this. And that's why I say to people, like, I think we've gotten a lot of feedback when it comes to, oh, you guys are too positive. Like, look at the score and the yards that were allowed. Nobody's getting out of here scot-free. The Bears gave up 495 yards. Yeah, I'm sure that boils a lot of people's blood. But I think the difference is I'm usually mad about it because we're talking about a loss. It's kind of amazing that we're talking about a win. It's almost like the modern NFL just knocked at your door and invited itself in, sat down.
So a couple of things here. One, Joe Flacco's 80 years old. I know he's only 40, but it feels like he's 80 years old.
He had a sprained AC joint. We didn't even know if he was going to play.
So tell me, be honest. When you watched the first couple of series, were you not like, well, maybe he's not at full strength? Because he wasn't doing like spectacular things early in that game. He was just making very standard throws. And then as the game went on, I was like, no, his shoulder's completely fine.
Or something happened. I don't know what you do to feel better in those scenarios, but maybe he just warmed up and that made it easier for him. It was also who got catches. You know, we talked about that as well. It's the fact that not only were the Bears not able to stop Higgins and Chase, but yeah, Chase Brown had 75 yards receiving. Yoshivas, as we've mentioned before, 66 yards. He had 7 targets in this game. Tanner Hudson, Noah Fant. Of course, he had that big touchdown. And then Mitchell Tinsley. Yeah, no matter how Tinsley. You look at it, if we had said, this is what the Bears gave up, you're not happy.
When Hudson caught the 33-yard ball inside the 5, I said to myself, Tanner Hudson, who's that? Yeah. I was like, I remember reading about him, but not like it didn't register because you're not supposed to be that far down your wide receiver depth chart playing against the Bengals.
But what's funny is we knew how injured the team was going into this.
Yeah.
Like Tyreek Stevenson wasn't at 100%. He was playing, but he wasn't his best self. You know, we knew that they would be down a significant amount of people. It's why CeeDee Gardner-Johnson's here. Like, we got to get used to this a little bit.
Right. You forced the turnovers in this one, and you still gave up the yards. So, yeah, the defense. Oh, we're past the turnover period of the season where the Bears were going nuts with the last 2 weeks. They've been exposed just a little bit.
But they were ultimately still plus 3 on the takeaways. Now, I know one of those takeaways was literally the very last play of the game. But my thing is, I think we're still in the same position we were a couple of weeks ago. We're like, who are they when they're not taking the ball away?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I would also like to point out that there were only 3 sacks. And when you consider that, we were told this offensive line of Cincinnati is not great. You know, like I mentioned earlier, Lucas Patrick got activated. He was part of, I think, an injured reserve because there was a practice window that was open. And you still don't get the amount of sacks that you'd hope for when the pass rush was cooking. And now we got to figure out what's up with Dio Odangbo.
It was nice to see Austin Booker break through. And again, not having watched the game again or any film or anything like that, Austin Booker may have struggled in this game like everybody else. But he did have the sack fumble play, and that you are looking for somebody to get to the quarterback, and we still don't know exactly what that player is at this point.
A lot of texters are saying that they thought Spiridita said improbable.
Oh, really? Do we need to go back to the lab and listen to it?
Improbable!
Now, that time it does sound like improbable.
I heard a C.
I heard... One more time.
Improbable.
I don't know.
I kind of hear the C. I've heard it enough times at this point that Robbie has convinced me that
it's
there
crobable.
Is a C.
He said crobable. Dying on that hill.
Now, when did you start noticing that? Did you notice that in real time during the game?
And while I was editing the highlight, I was like, wait a minute. He said incrobable.
Oh, wow.
Improbable!
He said crobable. He definitely mixed that up.
No, I think it's P-popped, and that's why it's kind of indistinct. It's improbable.
Yeah. Both can be true.
312-644-6767. Did you say incredible?
Yeah.
It's the hurt. Wow.
This is the most important part of our show here.
But I think the reason why I'm not as frustrated with the defense is because, well, I remember when Joe Flacco threw for over 200 yards in the fourth quarter against the Bears. That was 2 years ago. He was with the Browns, but there's part of that.
Yeah.
And then also, I knew that their secondary was down bad.
Yeah, I mean, even like Tyreek Stevenson, obviously back, so you could think that maybe he's a little not quite on his game, and obviously not 100%.
He's definitely not 100%.
Not 100%, so that takes away from it just a little bit. But we also kind of knew, it's not like previewing the game, we didn't think that this could happen. Like, what we knew about Cincinnati is they potentially had an explosive offense. What we knew about Cincinnati is their defense sucked. All of that played out yesterday.
All I know is I am thankful that the post-game comments that happened in the Bengals locker room are not what we're dealing with from a Bears perspective today. That's the bottom line.
We're just so used to being the most dysfunctional.
Yeah, and everybody thought that that game was going to go a certain way, and it didn't.
It's not even that.
You sound like you still don't believe it.
It's not the shootout part that's surprising.
Did it?
Yeah.
Because Grody, a dream? Be honest, it's not the shootout part that's disturbing. It's the fact that they had the 2-touchdown lead and just saw it evaporate in less than a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then we're able to still win the game.
How do you score 15 points in 49 seconds?
I can play the tape back for you after the
show. The one to make it 41-35, I guess it's like you're playing off a little bit. You think the game is, you know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of that. You kind, all right, whatever, they score it, but you have to be on attention at that point. Then you're like, okay, get your bleep together, tighten it up a little bit. Field an onside kick, and then they didn't.
Well,
so
it's the not capitalizing off of the turnover, too. You know, Edmonds gets that interception. We think he runs it back. He doesn't. So the Bears then have to go 1st and 10 from the 4.
Yeah, that was dejecting.
That's the hard part is that, yes, you stopped a score from happening, but you now have atrocious field position to begin that drive. Cincinnati then takes a timeout. Then there's There's the penalty on Theo Benedett for the false start. So then they go back even further. What is that, half the distance to the goal at that point? And that's what made this so tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
They run Britton Brown.
Britsy.
And then Britton Brown again. So you're trying to buy yourself some yardage. And then Torrey Taylor punts it 48 yards. That's to the 43. So then it's returned for 2 yards, and 2 yards still gets you practically to midfield because you're at the 45. That's what made that so rough.
I think that the issue was when they didn't get the onside kick, when the Bengals got it back, when they recovered the onside kick, I don't think anybody in Chicago thought the Bears are about to stop Joe Flacco. That's where the issue comes in.
I agree with that. Like, once, of course, you recover an onside kick, you're going to score. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like there couldn't be a bigger momentum shift than recovering an onside kick in the game of football. Incrobable is perfectly cromulent word, according to a texter.
cromulent?
Incrobable!
3-1-2, he did not, capital letters, not combine incredible and improbable. He simply said improbable.
I think he said improbable.
Improbable!
How can you guys not hear the k part? Improbable.
Because I hear the k is indecipherable.
The problem is all of us have had microphones that popped.
Yes.
Like, that's my issue.
On P specifically.
But a microphone pop doesn't sound like a K or a C. That's my issue.
That's because you know how to enunciate.
No, I don't think there's a ruling on this yet. I am not sure.
Well, I'm out. It's okay, Robbie. I am on Incrobable Island with you. It might just be us. It's okay.
I'm willing to be on that.
Improbable!
Yeah.
Oh, that one I did hear P. Oh, now I'm torn.
Are you leaving the island?
See?
No, I'm still on the island. Wilson.
You better not. You're the one that brought me to the island, Robbie.
I'm on this island. We're on the island.
Wilson.
Improbable!
I hate that stupid volleyball.
I love Wilson.
I never watched that movie, and I'm kind of glad about it.
No!
Oh, you got to
see it. It's
a great movie. Yeah. It's so sad, too.
I watched the Jada Daniels video. Is that not enough today?
When he goes back to retake his...
Spoiler alert!
She's not going to watch it. She hasn't watched it yet.
What if I read the Wikipedia summary?
No. It will not touch you the same way it will going through everything that man goes through.
But it's like the saddest moment.
Okay. Yeah.
It really
you're right,
is.
Grody, like, you're right, but also she needs to see the movie.
All right, should we spoil it? Yeah, he sees dead people. That's what happened. That's the end of it. Man.
There's no way you're going to watch that movie. Are you ever going to watch that? Because if you haven't watched it, it's not something you're into,
I don't.
Right?
I mean, sometimes people watch old movies. That happens.
Well, this is not the old movies. Like, because I know
how
this
old
myself.
Is this movie?
I just know there's
it's at least 25 years old, I think.
There's
certain
movies.
A head in the box. Yeah, that's the end of it.
I'm always
yeah.
laughing when people are like, wow, Layla, what were you doing? Why weren't you watching movies? I don't know. I was going to school and working.
Well,
like, what do you want?
You need to find time to watch movies then, Layla. That's what it is.
708 says they're hearing Incredible.
Wait, did you just conflate Castaway with Seven? Is that what I heard back there?
Oh, no. He starts a fight club that no one talks about, and then he finds out it's him the whole time. Yeah, that's what happened.
He's really killing it right
okay,
now,
okay, that I've seen.
What's
Let's
it,
not
what,
go crazy here.
Did you tell her what's in the box?
It's a head.
It's a head in the box, yeah.
Well, that was pretty much head. Expected at that
Jack
point.
In the box.
Oh, I'm doing all
John Doe has the upper hand now.
Grody, you haven't seen a lot of major movies, and we wouldn't spoil them
and
for you.
And you still haven't seen the rest of the other guys. You didn't
it's
start
true.
From finishing.
Well, I don't want to. I just figured I was doing you a favor by telling you what happened in Castaway, because you don't want to see it, so I might as well tell you what happened.
It's not that she doesn't want to see it. She doesn't know if it's something that will scar her, so she's like, why would I want to see something that would scar me?
No, it's pretty much just laziness. I don't like...
Oh,
I'm,
yeah. laziness. Usually, my bad.
I usually
Did she
watch,
soft
I
or
usually
something?
Watch a lot of... Like, yes. I watch a lot of games. I don't watch a lot of movies, you know?
Oh, well, excuse us, Mrs. Sports. Okay.
You're in the same... You're in the same space I'm
but
in.
But I'm watching the other guys right now, am I not?
No, it's taking you like six
and
days.
And by the way, I wasn't up to the first twist by the time... I was only like
oh,
8 minutes.
Oh, you did get to the
oh,
twist.
Oh, yeah. I'm almost like... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, what he yeah, his background you mean? Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty
Why
hilarious.
Why did you just watch it
straight through
together?
Because I'm just taking because Layla, because we have to watch sports, and so I'm watching it little by little
just
when I
don't
when play. I have windows.
The
we'll
only thing Grody. I can tell you for Thank certain you. To Touché. Not watch, do not watch, is the Jaden Daniels video. Because I did and no.
Don't watch that.
That's real life.
Don't watch that.
Oh, yeah, no. You keep on telling us not to watch it, Layla, which is going to make more people watch it. Like, now
I'm
going to
get, like, ads because they hear my phone
right.
hears me talking
it's
about it.
It's the third time she said it today. Now I do want to watch it.
It's bad. Yeah. Don't.
Now
I
I'm
going
to watch
it.
Now you blew it. Now I have to
and
watch
I
it.
And I have a strong stomach for those things, and that one was just, ugh.
My name is Voight, not Wilson. It's pretty good.
Oh,
dang
it.
It's kind of a dad joke, but.
We have Meatball Machine next. How good is it? On a scale of one to good.
Oh, it is. I think we may have one of the best meatballs of all time coming here.
Whoa. All right, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
You know what time it is when we have a Monday after a Bears game. It's meatball machine time. It's also Blackhawks and Bulls time. In fact, we're going to the Bulls game tomorrow. Blackhawks and Bulls season are on Chicago Sports Network. Bulls. Visit subscribe.chsn.com, subscribe.chsn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial of their all-access plan. Over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. Fire up the meatballs.
So I have to explain these first two meatballs. They said it before the game ended, like about with, I don't know, 40 seconds left in the game. So here's our first two meatballs.
54 seconds left. We all know what's going to happen. Williams suck. The Bears suck. They're going to this up and lose another game they should have won with no problem.
First, I want to say I absolutely can't stand being a Bears fan. It's miserable. It is one of the worst, most depressing things in this world. I don't care if I swear. I wanted to call to say there was no Sia Menungai. There's no Sia Menungai. But I really want to say is the Bears suck. I can't stand being a fan anymore. I'll be a fan the day I die, but I can't stand it anymore.
So those are the fans that submitted a little too early, and this was a fan who was a little happy when things start to go right.
Yes! Yes! No f***ing f***ing better this time! Yes!
Too yes! much. Too much. Too much.
Bear! You old man! You Cincinnati! You Bad River Blues, wherever you are! Suck it!
Suck it. Dallas. He's in Dallas.
Yes! Ah! I hate this team! I love this team, but I hate them. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Who knew the Joker?
I'm gonna go pass out now. Mob Bears. Mob Bears.
Now, we floated the idea in pre-show meetings about a Meatball Hall of Fame. I think that one enters the Meatball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
That is the way he fired himself up yelling mob.
I think Bears. That is definitely mob! He's a Hall of Fame finalist, if not already inducted. What are you talking about?
Little
here?
Howard Dean in him there too with the script. Rah!
I thought he was the DC. Joker.
Yeah,
it's like the Joker's a Bears fan, is what I learned from that call.
What was Howard Dean supposed to take over? They were gonna do.
We're gonna
something.
Do something. We're gonna do something, and then we're gonna go to the White House. I do a bad John Dean. I just realized that. Yeah, I don't know. It was like this whole it was good. Like things are going well, and then he took it to a level. Yeah, he took it to the Muppet
right, but
level.
We never knew what was gonna happen. All right, I can't worry about that. That was like 25 years ago. What's
it was
next?
Yeah, still
20
lives
years
with
ago.
Us.
Whatever.
Bears.
Okay, Meatball Machine, here we go again. Last play of the game. It's Joe Flacco, though. I don't think his noodle arm could get the ball all the way to the end zone. And picked off by the Bears. Ball game. Holy hell, what a win. Oh, man. Caleb Williams leading the Bears down the field again. For what was it, the third time this season to set up a game-winning drive? My wife is a Vikings fan, and she is pissed because she usually likes to make fun of Bears quarterbacks for not doing that at the end of games, and she is speechless right now. Although she can also probably brag because they just beat the Lions, but I don't care. This is the Bears Meatball Machine, baby, and this is my moment. Holy heck. Shout out Ben Johnson for taking WD-40 and duct tape and putting together whatever the heck that offensive performance was. Colson Loveland, congratulations on your game-winning touchdown. Welcome. Holy God, just all of the emotions and football and Bears!
Thank God we didn't have to rely on Cairo. Bears.
Can we please, please, please stop talking about drafting a running back and that we got the wrong tight end? Please shut up.
I think I have a very unhealthy relationship with the Chicago Bears and watching all this other stuff. It's 17 seconds left and Colson Loveland just scored a touchdown. I need help. Oh, I need help. I love you, Bears.
Love you too. Love you too.
We love you too.
I can't walk away. No, I can't walk away. I know. Meatball, this Bears game is drunker than a that was sports. At Layla, Grody, Marshall, especially Marshall. Now that we got a 40 piece, the ugly piece, because we almost lost this whole thing.
Sir,
that's the Meatball Machine.
Oh,
okay. That was the end.
It's a cold ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it cuts you off after a minute.
The timer ran off.
1 minute. You get 60 seconds.
We gotta tell people that.
I didn't know that.
That's the most important part.
Well, it's in every tweet we put out. It says max length 60 seconds.
Producers made sure that was in.
Every time you tell people to call, they reply with their comments, and I'm like, but no, that's not where they're gonna get heard. It's just Twitter.
It's very important that there's a limit.
Oh, we have one more meatball as well.
Improbable!
Oh, wow.
You know what? I'm with you. If you're willing to take over that island again, Robbie, I will join you and Ray on that island.
People mess up words all the time.
Well, yeah, duh.
I don't think he messed it up. I think he said improbable.
Improbable!
I think he did, too.
I heard Yanny.
I heard Yanny when that first out. Came out.
Yeah. Mm. Yanny?
I forgot about that.
Yanny.
Or is it Laurel?
The dress was gold.
Yanny Kingakwe?
It's gold.
Yanny Kingakwe.
That's what you pull after 4 hours of radio. All I had left in me was Yanny Kingakwe. That's Yanny. It. I might not be good for transition. Yanny. Yanzi.
We'll figure that out. Ngakwe's. In the meantime, Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel are here, so we'll work it through with them. That's next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.